John chapter 14. About 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in my office looking at all the books on the bookshelf. And I was looking at two books in particular. They both have to do with counseling. One just says Christian counseling, and it's kind of a thick book. The print is not very big, and it's definitely not double-spaced. There's a lot of content in this book. And the other has to do with pastoral counseling. And I picked those books up, and I was looking at them, and I thought about just throwing them away. But as I, you know, shuffled, I mean, I didn't read. I'm just thumbing through. It's like, well, you know, I'll hold on to them a little bit longer. Maybe I'll read on them at some point in time, just if there's anything I can glean. But that brings up an interesting point. If you go to a seminary or any kind of a Christian college or university with the intent of becoming a pastor, generally, one of the courses that they will recommend will have something to do with pastoral counseling. The assumption is that as a pastor, sooner or later, you're going to be required to do some counseling with people. And they talk to you about the do's and the don'ts and so forth and all that. Then once you become a pastor, it's really interesting and it's almost comical. But once you become a pastor, see, I preached my first sermon back in 1989, 25 years ago. Wow. 25 years ago this year, I preached my first sermon. And started pastoring 20 years ago, 1994. Nobody came to me for counseling until after I became a pastor. The assumption is, once you become a pastor, suddenly you know what to do. You know what to tell people. I mean, you might only have been a pastor for a week, but they assume, well, you know, you're a pastor, so you must be able to counsel me. I want to kill people. What should I do? Go to another church. So people, you know, go to pastors, you know, counseling. And then also right along with that, with our Bible college, Grace Ministries Bible College, we've had people who have contacted the school, wanted to know, well, do you have courses or degrees or whatever in Christian counseling? Now, I appreciate the efforts of Christian counseling, but all of the courses I've ever had, not many, concerning Christian counseling, there is always a blending of worldly psychology. I have yet to find a course on counseling, Christian counseling, that focuses exclusively on Scripture. Now, I do understand that people can have problems, and these problems can be deep-seated. They can go back, you know, well, when I was a child and all that. I understand that. But I failed to see the value of leading people back in time to relive stuff, because that's not the answer. Now, God can reveal if there is unforgiveness, things like that. But the only thing that we need to be looking back to is the cross. And that's it. So I have some rather, I guess you could say, strong feelings about this whole thing called Christian counseling. I believe a lot of it, and this is based on what I've heard from people, what I've read and all that, a lot of it is just a waste of time. An absolute waste of time. Now that does not mean all of it is. I just said a lot of it. So if you're a Christian counselor, don't contact me. We're helping people. Well, you know what? Praise God. Because if people aren't going to trust in Jesus Christ, they need something. But you know, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. What else are you going to do with that? But here in John chapter 14, I want you to see something. In verse 1 it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Twice in this chapter, Jesus tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled." In another place, then in verse 27, he adds, "Let it not be afraid." This afraid, don't think of it in terms of, what's a good way to explain this? Afraid as in fear that you're not going to make it. Fear that your worst fears are going to come to pass. So just don't let your heart be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Don't let your heart be afraid. Now notice this. In verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." In verse 27, "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." Three times he emphasizes we're the ones who decide what happens here. He presents it to us and he says, okay, the choice is yours. Let not your heart be troubled, upset, fearful, afraid, anxious, stressed out. On and on it goes. You know, all those different types of terms. Let not your heart be troubled. You make this decision. Then he tells you a key way to avoid this. You believe in God, believe also in me. What he's telling you right here is, if you will believe in me, then you will not let your heart be troubled, fearful, anxious, worried, full of care, distress, stressed out, etc., etc. What if my heart is troubled? What if I am going through one of those times to where I need Christian counseling? What has happened? Well, what's happened is I'm revealing that I don't believe in Jesus as much as I say. I know every Christian is going to say, but I do believe in Jesus. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So you can't have a troubled heart and be believing in Him the way you say you do. Because then over in verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So if my heart is troubled, if my heart is afraid, then I'm not believing in Him the way that I say I do. And notice that he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Okay, try to see this from this perspective. My heart is troubled. My heart is afraid. What do I do? I don't know which way to turn. I can't take anymore. It's just overwhelming. Well, you need counseling. Okay, then I'll seek counseling. That's the world's way. Is it not? He says, "I give you peace, not as the world gives." The reason that I go for counseling to anybody is to try to get some peace in my life, to try to get some answers, to try to get settled, to try to get rid of the stress, the anxiety, the worry, all those things. That's why I'm going to the world, to try to get some peace. And sometimes the world's method includes medication. Well, you just need, to take these pills. That'll help settle you down. But Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give." Are you telling me that drugs are more effective than the peace of Jesus Christ? Is that what you're telling me? Well, now see, already I know that I have invaded some people's lives in a way that they do not appreciate, because there are a lot of Christians who are taking medication to deal with life. I've even had some come and tell me, after a sermon on peace, come and tell me, I am taking medication. And really, to summarize some of these conversations that I've had, what they're doing is they're coming to me and they're saying, I hear what you say, I appreciate what you say, but you don't understand, I need the drugs to make it through. So they are defending their disagreement that they have not verbalized. Does that make sense? You say, well, Brother Martin, you just don't understand what I'm going through. I don't. But I do know this. Jesus Christ, my Savior, the one who died on the cross for me, shed his blood for me, bore my sin, became my sin, etc. and so on. The one, Son of God, who did all these things, says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. That means I have access to that peace, does it not? Absolutely. There's no other way around it. When I have that peace, what is missing? The troubled and the afraid. Because you can't have both. Somebody who's all stressed out and they tell you, well, yeah, I have peace. No, they don't. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. And they're all stressed out. Something's not right here. I mean, it's not that they don't believe God, but they're not believing in Him at that level where this peace exists. Because if you're believing exactly the way Jesus is talking about here, you will have that peace. I've been the opposite of this in my own life. I just don't know what to do. And what's bad is when you know what you're supposed to be doing, trusting God, and you're the one that's like, I just don't know. I've had to go through some counseling myself, alone, with God. That's the kind of counseling that'll take, though. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. So here comes all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of problems, all kinds of junk, no matter what it is irrelevant what has happened. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. So now I'm looking at all this mess. I feel like I'm surrounded by issues. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. So now the choice is mine. He's standing there watching, observing. Now listen closely. He's not doing anything. And he won't until you make a decision. Peace I give unto you. There you are in the middle of strife, junk, stuff. And he's waiting. He's waiting for your decision. Now you can say, oh, I just don't know. And the troubled, and you make a decision to let your heart be troubled, afraid. Or you can say, no, I choose not to do this. Jesus, your peace. You promised, I receive it from you. And some people would say, well, but that's easier said than done. I'm not so sure. Here's why. We are so accustomed to allowing, emphasis on the word allowing, our hearts to be troubled and afraid, what he's talking about here, that we have not developed a life pattern of turning to the peace that he is offering. We're surrounded by Christians who get stressed out over things. And look, every one of us are going to face problems. Jesus faced problems. If you read the life of Jesus, man, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John reveal he had some times that could be very trying, but he held on to the peace. That's why he turns around and he says, look, my peace I give unto you. Why is that? Because the peace that I walk in is the peace that will get you through anything. It will even take you to the cross. Now, if that peace could get me through to the cross, knowing what was coming, that peace will help you as well. It'll get you through. It's the peace that passes all understanding. Now, look over at Hebrews chapter 4. Because see, when I was looking at those books on counseling, and again, I didn't read them. I just thumbed through them very, very briefly. In fact, I did it again tonight, very, very briefly. But in between 2 weeks ago, or, you know, 2.5, whenever it was, and then tonight, you know, I'm praying, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about all of this. The truth is, Christians, I don't mean 100% of all the body of Christ, but in a general way, Christians are very good at neglecting the ministry of God through the Holy Spirit when it comes to dealing with problems. Now in Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now Jesus said, I give you my peace. Here we see that the throne of grace is open, and we can approach the throne of grace. We can do it boldly, and we can receive the mercy and the grace necessary for that time of need. If that time of need is anxiety or troubled or afraid or any of those things, the grace and the mercy for that need is there. There is no lack of what this grace and mercy can do to help us during these times. Now I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit shared with me. What do you hope to receive during counseling with man that exceeds what you can receive from praying in tongues, worship, the Word, and fasting? Now listen closely to this. The power for change lies within. The power for change lies within. Counseling with man cannot bring forth what has been given to you from God. Praying in the Spirit, worship, complete meditation in the Word, and fasting all go beyond the flesh to access your spirit to pull out the inner healing, deliverance, peace, comfort, and everything else that people seek in counseling. Now notice what he said. The power for change lies within. Within. And he says, counseling with man cannot bring forth what has been given to you from God. That doing these things, what we refer to as the four pillars, goes beyond the flesh to access your spirit to pull out the inner healing, deliverance, peace, comfort, and everything else that people seek in counseling. Now, I want you to think about this. Everything that you're looking for, the peace of mind, the strength to overcome all those feelings, the troubled, the afraid, all of that, it's living in you now. Yes, but what about Christians that aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost? It's still there. You say, well, how do you figure that? Look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And begin reading in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And when it says the fruit of the Spirit, that's not the Holy Ghost. That is the fruit of your born-again spirit. I've taught on this before. I'm not going to go through and break it all down. It's in other sermons. He is talking about the fruit of God's life, God's nature, that born-again spirit, your new nature. That is where this fruit comes from. That means contained within. Well, think about it. When you get born again, you receive the born-again life from God. It is His life and nature, not deity, but His life and nature that is imparted unto you. It's in there now. It's in there, alive now. When it begins to bear fruit, That fruit is love, joy, peace, all of these things that we see, that we just read in here. It's all in there now. The challenge is accessing it. Is, you know, well, like he said in here, to pull out the inner healing, deliverance, peace, comfort, everything else that people seek in counseling. It's all in there now. But it's understanding that it's in there. Look in Romans chapter 8. You're going to see a variation on this theme. It's not word for word the same thing, but it's a variation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit," and again, this is talking about your born-again spirit, your new nature, "if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." If we give a variation of this, if you live after the flesh and the associated emotions, you're going to feel like you're going to die. I've heard people talk like that. I just feel like I'm going to die. He says, however, if you through the power of God's life in you mortify all of that junk, then you know what? You're going to experience the life and the fruit of that life that Jesus has given unto you. It will be there. The power for the change is not separated from us. It's there. And when we begin to seek God, He works with us to help us access and pull that out. It's not like there is no peace available to us until we've gone through a lot of suffering. No. His Spirit, His life in us, is one of, well, love, joy, peace, strength. I mean, that's what we have received from Him. Now listen to, let me keep reading to you what He shared. God's wisdom comes from Him into your spirit. Remember, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask Him. God gives to all men liberally. God's wisdom comes from Him into your spirit, then from your spirit into your mind for correct decision making. The problem is not so much that Christians cannot receive from God, but that they do not spend enough time in His presence to know how to draw from both the power of their new nature and from God's throne of grace. So we don't know what to do. I mean, He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. It's there. Jesus says, I give you my peace. It's there. The fruit of the Spirit, it's there. But we have not been taught how to do this. I mean, quite frankly, guys, how many churches have you ever attended in your life that have placed an emphasis on praying in the Spirit, meditating, complete meditation in the Word, you know, reading, meditating, confessing and so forth, the Word, fasting, worship? There aren't that many churches out there that teach this. But there are a lot of churches that will make you feel good with their sermons. Look, I don't want to feel good because of a sermon. I want to feel good because there's been a change on the inside of me. A feel-good sermon just lasts for a period of time. But what we receive from God, His life in us, that is permanent change and deliverance. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Look what Jesus said in verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now remember, we're talking about Christians who feel like they've got to have Christian counseling. You know, I just got to sit down and counsel with somebody. I just got to, you know, got to get through this. Well, we've already learned the throne of grace is available to us. We've already learned that when we're born again, our spirit has the potential to produce the fruit of the inner healing, the deliverance, all those things. Now we see what Jesus says here. With this, all this in mind, look over in Proverbs. Proverbs 20. And I want you to see how prophetic some of these verses are we're going to read. Proverbs 20. Take a look here in verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Okay, so what do I need? I need counseling. All right? Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Well, what's dwelling in your heart? Well, for one thing, the life of God. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit is there as well. So now you have the Holy Spirit and God's life and nature on the inside of you. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, look in chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as what? Deep waters. And the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. You see how similar this is to the image presented by Jesus back over there in John? And then we just saw that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Now I see that the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. In other words, as I begin to pray in tongues, I am drawing out of that well the counsel that is available to me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm drawing out the inner healing that was birthed in me when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now look in chapter 15. In verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? I have joy by the answer of my mouth. Well, how in the world can I have joy by the answer of my mouth? I mean, I'm the one that's messed up. How can I have joy coming from my mouth at the same time I'm messed up? It doesn't make any sense. That sounds messed up. The counsel is as the deep waters. My mouth is like those deep waters. As I'm praying in tongues, what am I doing? I'm praying out the joy of my salvation. I am praying out my deliverance. I am praying out the troubled free heart, if you will. I'm praying these things out. The Holy Spirit is working with me. When I don't know how to pray, I'm praying in the Spirit. The waters begin flowing. The counsel begins to flow. I get into the Word of God. I'm praying in the Spirit. Wisdom is coming. And I will have joy by the answer of my mouth. In other words, God is saying, you want counseling? Not a problem. Let's hang around together here. I will help you with this. But all too often, we don't hang around long enough to get the counseling that we need. Let me read something else to you. In fact, turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And take a look in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if there's troubledness in me, the Word of God has the ability to differentiate what's going on and what's... Listen to this. The power of God's Word, when coupled with an open and teachable heart, is able to cut away at those things inside which present themselves as troubling. But you have to have an open and teachable heart. Man, I can't begin to tell you how many times people, Christians, have come to me, I want counseling. And so I sit down, I'm talking with them, and I'm sharing with them. Those of you that have counseled with me, you know, I point you to the Word. I point you to what Jesus has done. I point you to the completed work of Jesus Christ. I don't just try to make you feel good with encouraging words. The most encouraging words I can give you is, here's what God has done for you. Here's what's recorded in Scripture. Here's what you can do to, you know, break out of this, whatever it is. If you aren't teachable and don't have that open heart, it's not going to work. And that's what's happened. I've counseled with people. They tell me what's going on. I share with them from the Word. I point them in the right direction. And they don't do anything with it. There are people that have never really said this, but I know, I mean, they haven't said it to me. They have gotten, let's just say, a little disappointed in me because I did not give them the counseling they wanted. What they were really looking for is a pat on the back, an attaboy, you know, hang in there, go get an ice cream cone, everything's going to be okay. Just, you know, don't give up. You know, all those things that people tell you. But when I look at you and I say, look, here's your answer. This is what you need to do. You do this, you're going to have your breakthrough. They don't want that. Some people don't want that. They don't want the responsibility. What they want is for somebody, you know, to pray for them and make it all go away. You know, what was that? Who was it? Eddie Arnold years ago? Make the world go away. Get it off of my shoulders. Say the things you used to say. Okay, moving right along. They want somebody else to fix it. They don't want the responsibility of dealing with it themselves. But you know what? Not even God can help a person like that. Because as long as you're looking for help everywhere other than the true source, you know, the Bible talks about, where does my help come from? Well, from God. That's where it comes from. But we're not used to people telling us to seek God. We're not used to seeing Christians do this. Truthfully, we're used to seeing Christians struggle. We're used to Christians repeatedly having the same prayer request to get through stuff. That's what we're accustomed to. That's what we've been trained to observe. We've not been consistently told, you need to get back in there with God. We've not, in essence, been told, take responsibility for this stuff yourself. Because number one, everybody's going to face trouble. Number two, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Number three, you've chosen to violate the instruction Jesus gave. Number four, you really don't believe God the way you say. Then you make people mad and they walk away. Say, well, he was no help. Why not? Well, he just told me I had to trust God. He just told me to spend time in prayer. You know, he didn't make me feel any... I feel worse now than what... That's because now you're convicted. Now listen to this next part. It's like Jesus spoke up. He said, the greatest Christian counselor is the Holy Spirit. But now listen to this next part. The greatest Christian counselor is the Holy Spirit. His partner is your born-again spirit. They're in business together. The key to successful counseling is wanting to change. Unless you are at a place where you are tired of being a certain way, you will not change. Christians who truly want to change do not need numerous counseling sessions. What they need is encouragement to stay before the throne of grace to receive from God and draw from their new nature. The Holy Spirit and your spirit are partners in this. Why is it? Because in your spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Your spirit is not in agreement with all the stress in your soul. Your spirit is not in agreement with troubled, afraid. Because that's not a part of the life that God gave to you. So the Holy Spirit teams up with your spirit to bring about a resolution. Not the elimination of the circumstances, but a resolution to the inner turmoil. See, deliverance does not simply mean the problem is gone. Deliverance is walking in the peace of God through the problem. That's deliverance. Well, you know, when the problem's gone, everything will be okay. No, everything, if you truly believed in Jesus, everything's okay now. Because he gives us that peace that passes all understanding. He said, ongoing fellowship with the Holy Spirit keeps the path of your spiritual hearing cleared of all fleshly and worldly debris. This will assure that you are able to hear his voice at all times. I don't want you to just talk to the Holy Spirit. I want you to communicate with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that counseling? In counseling, person comes in, they want to unload on the counselor, then they sit there and wait for the advice. That's communication. All too often we bellyache, but don't listen. Do you realize some of the best counseling that you can ever experience is by going to God and just telling him, here's what I'm facing. Here are the problems, and here's what I'm feeling. And then you just sit in his presence. Not looking to hear a word, just looking to experience his presence. Isn't there something in the Bible about casting the care over onto him? When's the last time you were going through it and you literally out loud, verbally said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I cast the trouble, the care, the burden, the worry, the stress, I cast it over onto you, Jesus. Right now, in your name, Jesus, I cast it over onto you. And now I choose to receive from you your peace. And I'm just going to sit here in silence and receive it from you. When's the last time you did anything like that? We don't know when to be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I know. That word know, it means end up with the confidence that you have just been in the presence of Almighty God. Be still and know that I am God. A lot of people, and I've had this happen with me, you have a prayer line, people come up, the burdens are heavy, the stress, the anxiety, the troubling, all that. I just want a breakthrough. I just want to be delivered from this. And they want me to pray. Or they'll want, somebody else to pray for them. Many times we refer to this as, like a grace line. And the Holy Spirit, listen to what he said about this. What is a grace line? Man cannot impart life-changing grace. Please let that settle in. There are a lot of you watching or listening to this. You're so accustomed to this term grace line, you think when you get into the prayer line, the grace line, that when whoever it is that's praying lays hands on you and prays, that grace is imparted to you from that person. That's not true. And I would challenge any preacher who says otherwise. Let me read this to you again. What is a grace line? Man cannot impart life-changing grace. Where's the grace come from? God. Man cannot impart life-changing grace. The grace of God only comes from God. A grace line is where you have made a decision to trade your weakness for God's grace. It is an act of faith that you are going to receive that grace. That grace, in turn, empowers and strengthens you to endure the attack and overcome your own inabilities to rise in victory through God's ability imparted to you. The preacher praying for the people in the grace line is not imparting grace. Rather, he is standing with you in agreement that you are going to receive from God what you have set your faith in action to receive. So see, this is where a lot of Christians make a mistake. They are expecting to receive from the preacher. Do you understand what I mean by that? I when I pray for you, yes, praying for your healing is not the same thing as praying for grace. I hope you're understanding this. It's like some people believe that the further a preacher goes into God, that the more that preacher becomes the point of contact or the release point for all these things from God. No. I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Yes. But I cannot impart to you the grace that comes from the throne of grace. I will pray for you. Grace can be released to you, but not from me. I'm not the grace generator. So really, I'm standing in agreement and I'm praying with you because you've come up here to receive the grace from God symbolically. Symbolically. The altar area of the church service is like the throne of grace. You're coming before the throne of grace to receive from God. I'm standing in agreement. I'm praying with you, Father, in the name of Jesus. May this grace be released now in Jesus' name. But I'm not the person that can choose at will to give you that grace. And I know some Christians, they want to fuss about that one. But again, there are some things we can do, like the healing, like the casting out of devils and so forth. But I'm hard-pressed to find something in Scripture which says, I'm the one that you get the grace from. Now, you get that from God. But I can be a minister of grace. Do you're understanding this. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10. Some people would maybe then ask the question, well, if that's the case, if what you're saying is true, which it is, if, you know, all this in mind here, well then, I mean, Pastor Jim, I just got to be honest with you. Sometimes I just want to sit down and talk with people. It feels good to talk to people. Not a problem. It's okay to talk. I mean, over in James, it talks about, you know, confess your faults one to another, all right? One of the faults that you could have is not believing Jesus the way you say. Remember, he said, peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. You know, you believe God, believe me. Don't let your heart be troubled. Well, I'm going to confess to you, I've been letting my heart get troubled over the kids, the money, the doctor's diagnosis, the thing. You know, I've allowed myself to become troubled. And I confess this to you. Which means I'm not really believing Jesus the way that I say. So, what do we do? Well, he talks about praying for one another. That's what you do. You pray for the person. Father, I just pray for this person, you know, for your grace to be ministered to them, for their eyes to be open to see it the way you see it. I mean, just however you're led to pray. But the one thing you don't do is get into a bunch of, you know, back patting. Everything's going to be okay. Just hang in there. You're going to make it. God will never let you down. I mean, those things are nice. And those things can be encouraging. But the greatest encouragement that we need at times like that is the encouragement to get in there with God. Even if it means, you know what, I'll do this. Why don't you come by my house tomorrow, say at 7 o'clock, and I'll spend an hour with you praying and worshiping the Lord. And I'll lock arms with you in this, and we'll go through it. And you're going to see the victory. You're going to see the peace. You're going to see the relief. You're going to see the inner healing. It's going to happen. My goodness, you talk about being a great therapist. But listen to what he says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, right here we are seeing in this, well, part of what we're seeing is that every single one of us has a role in the therapy of other believers, exhorting one another. And he says, provoking unto love. and good works. There's encouragement in this. In other words, have you ever noticed that when people are going through the troubling, one of the first things they do is decide to stay home? They don't go to church. Do you not realize that is exactly what Satan wants you to do? I just don't even feel like getting out of bed. Then you don't believe Jesus. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, no, you don't. Because if you did, you'd be getting out of bed. You'd know you need to be here. But Satan's pulled one over on you. And he's got you thinking, you're going to find more relief staying at home and separating yourselves from the very people who can help you. Now, this goes on a lot in the body of Christ. The best thing for you to do is to just talk to yourself. If you need to close the windows to keep the neighbors from hearing, then do it. You need to go down to the park to get away. But talk to yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Talk to yourself. Take authority over those emotions. Do it. It is a fight. Believe me, it's a fight. Sometimes it seems like your most powerful enemy is your emotions. That's where you have to fight with everything in you. And take authority over all of those things that are saying, stay home, don't do this. Oh, you'll get up and go to work that, you know, on Monday because you got to have your paycheck. But you won't go to church to be with people who can help you, who will exhort you. Find somebody in the church you trust, somebody who has demonstrated spiritual maturity. Because not everybody in the church you can trust. Even if it's somebody that's not your buddy, best friend, but you know they have a walk with God, just sit down and say, can I talk to you for a couple of minutes? Look, here's what's going on. And don't just go through all the junk. Some people, when they talk, all they want to do is unload. They want to spend an hour bending your ear with all the problems. They don't want to receive help. They just want to pull you into the muck. Just tell them, look, I've been going through a bunch of stuff. And right now my emotions are frazzled. I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the end of my rope. Use all the cliches you want. And just say, I just would like you to pray with me, please. And you know what? That person's going to pray with you. And there's a good chance God will lead them in that prayer. Not that you'll get a specific word from the Lord, but in that prayer, things may be identified that you didn't even tell that person. That's happened a lot of times here. I'll be praying for people, and I'm just praying, just, you know, as like I feel prompted or however you want to call it, and I'm praying for people. Then after the fact, it's like, you have no idea. I never told you those things. How did you know that? It's what the Lord just led me to pray for. But you need to be with us. Now, here's what I'm getting at. There is value in wisdom and a multitude of counselors. Well, they've got to be godly counselors, that's for sure. And they have to be, you know, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 people. And they have to be people who are going to point you into that place of intimacy with God and reminding you, this is your answer. Now, you can still go to worldly counsel if you want to. You can even go to Christian counselors if you want to. But if you go to a Christian counselor and that Christian counselor is not sharing with you the basic principles of what I've shared with you tonight, then that person shouldn't be charging. If the first thing they want to do is give you drugs to settle you down, you know, it's up to you. It's totally up to you. But I'm telling you right now, I know that there's a peace and a presence of God that comes with worship. I know praying in tongues enables the Holy Spirit to begin to release wisdom. I know these things work. The key is, how bad do you want it? And if you want it, you can have it. The greatest Christian counseling that you'll ever get is going to come from God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He partners with your spirit. It is available to you. This is a part of growing up and maturing spiritually. The emotions, the rest of your life, you're going to be faced with dealing with emotions, okay? Just get that settled in your heart. They're not going to go away. But they can be conquered. And you can beat them. Diligence is going to be the key. When these things begin to happen, the circumstances, one of the things that the Holy Spirit will try to do is immediately remind you of sermons like this. Remind you of Scripture. And to, I mean, He can, listen, if you develop a close enough walk with God, the Holy Spirit said He'll show you things to come. You can begin to sense something's happening and prepare yourself ahead of time. How many times have you, something's happened, and then after the fact it's like, you know, I just had this feeling something was about to happen. Holy Spirit's trying to warn you. He's trying to help you be prepared. There's a wrong kind of troubling and a right kind of troubling, if you will. Holy Spirit troubling is really not troubling. It's warning. It's preparation. This is the kind of Christian counseling that you need. This is the kind of counseling that's going to enable you to overcome every situation that's trying to destroy your emotions and take you down. I have no problem talking with people. I have no problem, you know, well, can I counsel with you, Brother Jim? Yeah, you can. But you need to know during that very first session, you're going to be hearing this kind of stuff from me. Which means if you're serious, there won't be a second session. Just won't happen. And anytime people start coming back to me for more sessions, I know right then and there, they're not, you know, unless the second session is, I've been doing this, it's like a report. It's like an update. You know, I've been doing this, you know, I can tell I'm making some progress, and, you know, I just wanted to let you know, and so on and so forth. And that's a different kind of session. But guys, listen, I want to encourage you. The moment you got born again, God's life in you brought with it that fruit, that peace, the joy, all those things. They are there now. We need to learn to draw from that well and receive that therapy which comes from God's life in us and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank You that we have access to counseling, even if we are in a place where there are no other Christians anywhere near. That we have access to counseling, even if we're totally isolated from everything and everybody. I thank You, Father, that Your presence is always there to help us and to strengthen us. I thank You, Father, that even when we feel totally alone, completely isolated from everybody else, when we're really not, but that's how we feel, You are still there. Thank You for that. Father, I need to remember this. We all do. So I just ask You to minister encouragement to us this way so that we not forget this and that we can rely on Your strength and that, like You said in Your Word, we will rejoice in the Lord always, and again, we will rejoice. And we will think on those things of You, and we will cast down the imaginations that rise up against the knowledge of You. And we will walk and live with an untroubled heart. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. He just shared with me that it's very possible some people listening to this tonight may know somebody who needs to hear this sermon. So get them a CD, whatever it would be, and just pass it on. Praise God.